Hey, this is Samir.
Hey, this is Alec.
And this is Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM news and culture. Let's go. What up, EDM champions, our fellow ravers, our rave fam, how you guys doing? This is episode 45, and to kick things off, I am taking the on repeat. I'm jumping right into the music, and this week, the song that I have on repeat is Throttle's song, Dreamer. Take a listen. Let me know if you recognize this track.
Very nice intro, very nice on repeat song, man. What got you back
Thank you.
Like, this is Throttle Dreamer. I love this.
It's a good song, right, man? It's very catchy.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those songs that just puts you in a better mood, I feel like. You know, it's a nice uplifting 100%. Start to the day. So thank you for beginning this episode with that, man. That put a smile on my face, that song. It's a good one. I haven't heard it in a while.
That is a really good song, man. And it came out in 2019, released on Monster Cat Records, which I'm a huge fan of. And this song really garnered a lot of attention because it was on a Rocket League Monster Cat release. So, Alec, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Rocket League. And so this song was on it, on that pack from Monster Cat, and it really took off. And my roommate got a hold of it, and my roommate is just kind of one of those people who, once he gets a hold of a song, he'll play it nonstop in our apartment. So, you know, naturally, this song became an on repeat for myself. And I just love this song, man. I love the vibe, and I think it's so catchy and so much fun to listen to.
No, I love that, man. That's definitely a great song, then, if it's got, you know, if it's on repeat in your apartment as well. So,
absolutely.
Definitely. But I tell you what, man, let's just quickly go over what we're talking about today. There's a lot to get through, and with a lot of new music, particularly. I mean, we've got people like Yellow Claw, Artie, Don Diablo, a couple others were thrown in there too. As you've probably heard, Corella dropped that album. We'll be going over that. For the news and culture section, we've also got some great things in there. We've got DJs sharing their tips for going sober at a rave. That's always an interesting topic. And SoundCloud exceeds a very high revenue mark for them, which is good. More business news on that. Then we're going to go into the anti-plur moment. Samir and I, man, we're ready to rage. We've got a real thing that's going
to
be...
ready to go.
Yeah, I think so. Ready to go. We just talk about it offline. Lastly, getting into our penultimate and then ultimate parts of the show, we've got the what are we listening to, which is where we give our ratings. We have a very unique rating scale to two different tracks. They're going to be good for this week. And then also, we're finally finishing with our artists we're watching section, where we have two incredible young and up-and-coming artists. But going right back to the top, Samir, what did you think of Yellow Claw and Fat Man Scoop teaming up for Reckless?
Hell yeah, man. Just diving right into the new music. I absolutely love to do that. Let's talk about it. Yellow Claw, Fat Man Scoop, Reckless. You know, I was not always the biggest Yellow Claw fan, and to this day, I still am not the biggest Yellow Claw fan. But I will say, this song, it's the kind of song that makes you want to get moving. What makes you want to jump up and down, exert a lot of energy. Fat Man Scoop being on like EDM tracks, I feel like it's such a natural place for him to be. It's his voice is just it just fits so perfectly, especially when the song is more aggressive, like this track right here.
That's
from,
right.
From Yellow Claw, you know. So I'm a fan of this. I'm a fan of this song, and if it goes on live, dude, it's gonna pop off. Alec, what'd you think?
I love it, man. Very good thoughts on that one. Definitely agree with you about Fat Man Scoop. What's that song that he did? Was it TJR, sorry, God,
yeah.
TJR, not TDR, worries, that's the new guy. No, you know that song that he's on there with? Oh God, I'm blanking on it right now.
The song that Alec, you're referencing is called Check This.
Yes, that's right. That is a banger of a track, I will say that. Shout out TJR, really, but we're not talking about him right now. Okay, moving onwards, we've got Artie teaming up with Griff Clawson. Never heard of Griff Clawson before, but now I have on the song You're Not Alone. Samir, what's your thoughts?
Okay, Alec, I'll be honest with you. Did not enjoy the lyrics in this song.
No words for this song?
No, words for me on this one. You know, it's once again, it's one of those cheesy EDM tracks, which is, you know, I appreciate positive messages, but sometimes I feel like the trope is just far, far overdone. So I'm not really a big fan of the lyrics on this song. However, I'm a fan of Artie's production. I love the drop in this track. I really just like Artie's take on trance. It's like more energetic. It's more fun. It's more lively. And I'm not always the biggest trance fan, but when Artie is on a track, I know like 8 times out of 10, I'm going to like the song. So right. I was a fan of what Artie did here. Griff Clawson, I could pass on. Alec, what you think?
Interesting. So you don't put those two together when you're evaluating the song. I like how you're kind of splitting it between them.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting because I was honestly going to put it the exact same way. If it was just the Artie piece, you know, and kind of like if you just forgot the vocals for a bit, I would enjoy the song a little bit more, I think. The song where the vocals didn't quite hit it, but I think Artie did a very solid job from the, you know, the beats perspective, I guess.
I'm glad we're on the same page on this one. Let's switch on over to Don Diablo. Donald Diablo. Dude, the song is called We Are Love. Alec, I want to hear your thoughts. What'd you think, my friend?
I liked this, man.
I liked it too.
I did.
I liked it too.
I like this Don Diablo. He's had some solid releases, you know, going on. I really am enjoying would you say this is a return in direction, kind of?
I think just a big thing about EDM right now is, I don't know, I have a feeling that we're going to see a shift to more, less refined sounds. You know what I mean? More like what EDM was like back in like 2011, 2012, 2013.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? I think we're just seeing that in general with a lot of artists. I mean, come on, we talk about this all the time. Alesso being one of those people, you know, I think Don Diablo might, you know, realize that there's still a lot of heart in your music not sounding overly processed. So maybe that's a direction that he's trying to go to. Tiesto, I think, is also doing the same thing. So this song, We Are Love, I think is right on track with that. And I thought this was catchy. I thought it was fun. I thought it was upbeat, good, just energetic house music that I'm about. So those are my thoughts there.
Dude, I love those thoughts. Can we save that as a topic in the future? Actually, in of itself,
I would love to.
Fascinating.
Man.
We should definitely talk about that more. So, yeah, great point. Oh man, you got the
thank you, dude.
You got the creative juices flowing there. Now I'm thinking about it. But I agree with you. I think Don Diablo is definitely returning to kind of there is just this shift with any of the big room and, you know, progressive house people that they're going back a little bit more towards a different type of sound, a house sound that maybe, and just a more minimalistic style perhaps that the old club goers would be more accustomed to.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that this track is minimal in any sense, so please don't,
right.
I don't want to have, you know, I'm not saying it's the genre, right, but I'm saying that if you look at how big room became just this very grandiose type of, you know, song structure, we're now going back to it being a little bit more minimalistic. So I definitely agree with you, man, and I really like that trend, especially for Don Diablo.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I think we talked that one to death, so good job, Don Diablo. You have got a nice little check mark next to you in our show notes and on our books. Right, Louis the Child, Don't Mind. What do you think?
I feel like I'm split. I feel like I'm split on, on this track right now.
Talk
you know,
to me.
I think
walk me through this.
Thank you, dude. I feel like I'm talking to my therapist right now.
We've got to deal with your underlying issues with tracks. Come on.
when he picks a vocalist, he is so good at picking them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, he picks people with unique voices. He picks people who like to take tracks into a different direction. And I've always been a really big fan of what Louis the Child is able to accomplish on a lot of his tracks. again, vocals are this is just not my thing, and I find vocals, like, and still in this song as well, to be a little bit cheesy, but I can appreciate the talent that the vocalist had in this track, so I'll put that out there.
Okay.
And then Louis the Child as well, just I find his vibe to be very fun, very kind of groovy, the kind of music that you can listen to if you're ready, if you want to get down and get ready to dance, or if you're just trying to chill on your couch and relax and have a couple of beers. So this song from Louis the Child, Don't Mind, is exactly what I expected from him. It's upbeat, it's fun, and it could fit either flavor of if you're looking to go out and party or if you're looking to just chill out and stay at home and maybe watch Animal Planet with your girlfriend. Alec, what did you think there?
I love that last little thought there. But I think in general, I do agree with you again on this. I try not to be overly harsh with songs like these because I think they serve a very particular purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that they are meant to be this way and kind of make you want to go watch Animal Planet at home with your thing potentially, right? You know, where it's kind of just that type of vibe. You know, I think on just a little separate note here, I think sometimes it's when you're kind of in the position that we are, you're always looking for tracks that kind of wow you, you know?
Yeah.
So
I
have softened up a little bit when just, because otherwise I would just, you know, my gut instinct is to go with this song being kind of just that way and I'm not really that interested in it. But if you listen to it, one of the things that Louis the Child is really good at is adding, there's almost a lot of depth into their songs, right? So if you just listening to it more closely, you can appreciate it. So I just wanted to put that out there when I say that I wasn't a big fan of this track. It's not something that wowed me, but you can certainly appreciate the artistry that goes into it.
I love that, man. Thank you so much for your honest opinions on that.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's let's cap this section off, the new music section off, with a brand new album from Cruella. The album is called Zero. Let me just start by asking you something. Mm. Have you been a fan of Cruella before? Like, have you enjoyed their music in the past? It used to be a trio, the sisters Jahan and Yasmin Yusof, and then there was another person who was part of the trio. His name was Rain Man. And a couple of years ago, I want to say maybe 2015, 2016, they actually kicked him out. And Rain Man, he sued the sisters for a couple $1 million. I got to find the article somewhere, and we'll put it in the show notes. But, you know, that's their history. And ever since that whole debacle kind of happened, Cruella kind of became a meme. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were, the EDM sphere felt like the sisters, Jahan and Yasmin Yusof, were turning their back on Rain Man. And Rain Man was one of the people who had a lot of talent in the group. He's now doing his own thing. He's now touring. I believe he was in rehab for a little bit, and now he's touring and making his own music. But it was believed that, like, the sisters, like, he was the main talent of that group, and the sisters kicked him out. And so they kind of became a meme after that, and they kind of went quiet. I feel like I haven't heard too much from them. I mean, after having massive hits from 2012, like the song Alive, that's a fantastic mm-hmm. track. The song Killing It, that was off of their first album, massive track as well. So now here we are. It's 2020. We have an album called Zero, and it's an exciting time. There's 11 songs on it. So, Alec, what is your history with Cruella? Have you enjoyed their music in the past? What do you think?
Wow, I love how in-depth we're going on this one, and I'm glad that we are, because there's a lot
to
it.
I feel like we need a little bit of background here.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, thank you for setting the tone and the context for that. Yeah, I've been a fan of them, but I've never followed them too closely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I only recently learned about a little bit more of the background that you were just saying when I looked into this album, to be perfectly honest. I wasn't too sure about this type of background, and I almost forgot like how, you know, the breakup really affected the group almost. And there's a really interesting, they don't talk about it too much, but have you seen that Netflix documentary After the Rave? I think it's called After the Rave.
No, I
Tommy,
don't think I have. No.
With Tommy Sunshine. Correct me, and I'll double check and I'll put it in the show notes too. But it's he goes around and talks to some of the, you know, what are the lives like behind some of the biggest DJs that, you know, so Don Diablo's on there, Hardwell's on there, and then he does an episode with Cruella. So it's really interesting. You know, I'm just thinking back to that, and it does, you know, I think that they have been quite under the radar for a while, and the breakup has, you know, so maybe perhaps something to do with it. So it's interesting that they've just now come out now with another album, and it seems like they're going a different direction than from what they've done before.
Absolutely, yeah. I listened to the album and I was confused because there's a lot of sounds on this album that I've never heard before from Cruella.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you know, I was noticing that their social media posts started to show up in my Explore feed, And, you know, they were taking pictures, and I think they did a photo shoot in Indian garb and outfits, right? So now listening to this album, you know, coupled with the media packages that I'm sure they just put out from that photo shoot, coupled with this album, it has a very distinct Bollywood and Middle Eastern sound to it. Both the sisters are, they're from the Middle East. I think that's where their roots are. But, you know, to hear it now manifested in their music, I feel like we haven't really heard this sound from Cruella before. Really kind of pumped up on the new direction that they're taking. There were some songs where I feel like they took two separate ideas and kind of merged them together.
Okay.
And I think one of those songs would probably be Scissors and Martyr. I feel like they just took these two separate ideas. The song started slow, and then it just kind of immediately dropped into something much harder than one would expect from the song. You know, this whole album itself, I think, is just really exciting to see where Cruella is going to take their sound. Like, I was a fan of Zero, and the song Paradise, I really like that one a lot, and then Overboard and Green Lights, I was a fan of those songs, with Zero probably being my favorite one. But this is not a perfect album by any means, but this is a new chapter for Cruella. So those are my thoughts, Alex.
Interesting. Wait, man, I feel like you haven't quite explicitly said it. Do you like this album or not?
It's a half and half, man.
Interesting.
It's a half and half.
I feel that tension. I feel the tension in how you're describing it. Yeah.
If anything, I'm just excited about a new direction from Cruella. Like, it just seems like they're turning a new chapter in their career. They really went through some tumultuous times after they kicked out Rain Man. So, you know, to see them back and trying something new, I think is pretty exciting.
Very interesting thoughts on that, Samir. Seriously. I mean, I think it's fascinating because I can see why you would be 50-50. You know, when you talked about it, it does make sense to me. You know, and I feel I enjoyed it too. I think this is an album for me where I enjoy it more than I love it or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I like that.
Does that make sense? Like, you know, there are some like ones where you're like, I'm just going to listen to all the time. These are kind of like the tracks where I really do enjoy them, but for a specific time and if I feel a specific way. So I might throw it on every once in a while, right? Yeah. But it's not something, it's not like going to be a go-to for me or something I'm going to listen to quite intently. Because, yeah, you know who's kind of like that too is Aluna George. When we, you know, this, sometimes you just feel like turning on an Aluna George song. A lot of these songs from Cruella are going to be that way for me, where it's like I'll be like, oh, you know, maybe pull out, you know, Scissors or something like that, right? Just as a song to listen to. Well, not pull out actual Scissors. I realized that sentence came out. The pun was not meant to be there. So, okay, man. I think we have similar opinions on this one. And I do agree with you. I'm glad that they're taking it a new direction. We will just have to see where that direction is and how it goes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll keep an eye on that. And EDM Champions, you know what? Peep this album. Peep the music that we just talked about and let us know what your thoughts are. Twitter is @podbtb. Instagram is btb.pod. We're also on Facebook. Feel free to send us an email, connect@beyondthebeats.co. You know, log on to the website, beyondthebeats.co. And that's .co, not .com, as Alec likes to say on the pod. So, so that's some new music that we discovered that just came out this past week.
Dude, that was awesome. I feel like we're getting better at plugging our own socials.
I'm trying. That was nice.
That was smooth.
Thank you.
All right, I hope listeners can appreciate that. I certainly did. Going forward, I'm sorry. Sorry, I think I'm too real in this podcast.
You're in a chipper mood right now, Alec. I can feel it. You're in a chipper mood.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's this, well, it's, we haven't talked about it. It's a Super Bowl day. And, you know, San Francisco is in the Super Bowl, so it's a... The energy is up in the city. It's nice. Everyone's really excited. So I guess it rubs off a bit. Okay.
All right.
News culture section. Let's dive into this one. This is a very nice topic, and I have quite a few opinions here. SoundCloud exceeds $200 million in annual revenue for the first time. We talked about SoundCloud a little bit before.
Yeah.
Right, in the IMS Ibiza report. And over the last couple of years, you know, they haven't been doing too well. So this bump up in revenue and being able to achieve it for the first time is, you know, potentially a decent sign for them. Samir, what are your thoughts about this? Let's start digging into the details.
Well, I mean, I did an anti-plur on this a couple of weeks ago, but I feel like the listening experience of SoundCloud it's just declined so dramatically, dude. You know what I mean? And it mostly just comes from the ads. Obviously, the ads that they're plugging, it's helping them. You know what I mean? I mean, they started monetizing the platform back in 2016. You know, and obviously these guys went through some bouts of financial instability. I believe at one point, I think they almost went bankrupt at one point, and then they received, you know, a massive lump sum to kind of help them keep afloat. But it seems like, you know, them focusing on like a paid premium subscription and their advertising has really helped them, you know, turn a profit, which I'm excited to see this because SoundCloud is still one of the most influential and pivotal places for upcoming artists to post their music. There's no other spot on the internet that does it better or that has as much of a reach and influence as SoundCloud does. And that's why I can appreciate SoundCloud turning a profit. As much as I may bitch about the ads and how annoying it is to have to sit through a Bounty commercial or Subway commercial after three songs, I can appreciate that these guys are turning their company around. So I'm excited about that. But Alec, you just mentioned that you have a lot of thoughts on this.
Well, yeah.
So let me know what you think.
I just wanted to hear what you thought about that because I think it's very interesting. You're right. The increase in ad revenue and the focus on advertising, which I think anyone anecdotally can go and, you know, can figure out without having to look at the numbers, is that SoundCloud has really tried to up its advertising game, right?
Yeah.
As well as pushing more people towards SoundCloud Go, which is their, you know, premium service there. And, you know, man, I think it's interesting because I agree. I think the user experience has now declined on SoundCloud. I really think there's a lot of issues inherent within the platform itself. I think it's, you know, we use it a lot to discover people, but I really think they could do so much more with that discovery element, because I don't think they realize that the vast amount of their consumers are using SoundCloud, right? If one, they're an artist, it's really big for artists, and, you know, there's this whole kind of like SoundCloud artist aura going around where people are really about it. You know, a lot of rappers are found on there. We don't talk about rap, but rap is a very big part of SoundCloud. Like, you know, they produce a lot of the underground culture. And I think you see the same thing with EDM artists. So what I would say to SoundCloud is potentially you have your ad revenue now. Stop focusing on the driving more and more ad revenue and start looking at more organic ways to monetize. And I think the first way to do that, right, rather than placing more ads, is to get people to be more invested in the platform. And I think the discovery feature, because a lot of people do use it to go and discover these artists, right, who are now displaying themselves, if that feature was really, really good, then I think a lot more people would buy the premium subscriptions. So it's kind of like, you know, I just, from a business perspective, I don't think going down more of the ad route is better. I think they should improve the ad route. I mean, they should really, if you look at just the targeting there, I get targeted with Spanish ads. Like, there are ads being targeted to me in a completely different language than what I speak. I mean, that is the definition of untargeted advertising, right? And so whether it's the people plugging in to buy that ad inventory and their own targeting, I'm not too sure how the targeting works on SoundCloud. It could be different, right? Because on Facebook, it's not Facebook showing you the ads. A lot of it's the advertisers and how they're targeting people. I'm not sure about with SoundCloud, but whatever they're doing, they need to change it because it's just causing a very bad user experience. You know, and the other a really annoying thing is when if you are, you know, listening to a song, right, and you're at the gym and you have it on and you can close out of it, right, not exit it, but, you know, you put it running in the background and you can still have the music playing. You cannot do that with ads if you have your phone display up and you see the ad. If you exit out of it, it's going to stop playing and you have to go back on to finish the ad. Have you had that happen before?
Oh yeah, no, okay. I know exactly what
now,
you're talking about, dude.
That is terrible advertising strategy because that just pisses people off. You know, there's this it's almost like a love-hate thing I have with SoundCloud. Like, there's a lot of just promise with it and it helps out a lot of artists, but I think they just need to shift their focus and, like, okay, I understand you need to build more revenue, but to build revenue sustainably, you need to have a good user experience. And so I'd be very interested to dig into what's the user, you know, base like. Are they losing users? I mean, is it kind of like a Snapchat situation where they have a little bit of a resurgence, but after they made a lot of changes to their platform and started focusing a hell of a lot more on advertising, because that's how they're driving a lot of revenue. They weren't that profitable before. I'd wonder to see if that works sustainably as a business model, because our users just going to get fed up. And I feel like in SoundCloud's case, they might if they keep going down this route.
Totally.
Those are my opinions.
Wow. Dude, that was excellent. I mean, this is what I love, man. Like, you just have this insight into the advertising industry, which, you know, I don't really have much experience in. So super, super valuable stuff. And just, I mean, like I said, just coming across from like a regular SoundCloud user like myself, I try to actively avoid using SoundCloud because it's just the advertisement experience is just so, it's just the opposite of what a person would expect from like a refined music player that's been around for a long time. You know what I mean?
Totally.
I feel the same exact way. I get ads in different languages as well. I get bounty ads all the time. Subway ads, all that stuff. I get them all the time. Completely unnecessarily, though. So I've tried to use different tools besides SoundCloud because I don't want to keep having to deal with this. And I can guarantee that there are probably a lot more people out there like myself just waiting for the next platform to come about that'll kick SoundCloud's ass. So,
and I tell you what, man. Sorry, just to hop in right there. Another thing I would add right to that, and I think you'll agree with me, is once the artists see that other platform and they truly... Because I don't think all the artists quite, you know, maybe... You know, if they pay for, because a lot of them pay for it, right? So they might not have, they don't get that same listening experience as regular people do, right? Once they realize that people were this kind of upset about it, and then there's an alternative platform where people will move to, all the artists are going to leave SoundCloud.
Totally. I think now more than ever, this is just a pivotal point for SoundCloud to make some changes to make sure that they can really secure what their financial future looks like.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, SoundCloud, you have... There's an agency here. It's called Beyond the Beats. We'd be happy to work with you on your marketing expertise. Totally. You can email us at connect@beyondthebeats.co. We're very happy to. We'll start the RFP process and get this working out for you.
Just, oh my God. That is funny.
Yeah. Okay. But
a little request for proposal out here.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly.
Love it.
So let's start Love that. It. Let's get that rolling. No, but just to wrap this up on a serious note, I couldn't resist.
Yeah,
sorry. I couldn't resist that.
No, please. I loved it.
It's a shame because I think there's a lot of great SoundCloud and I do love it. And that's how, to be honest, man, I mean, that's where I find the artists. So
of course,
this all comes
from,
this all comes from me truly actually enjoying the platform. It's just, you know, the changes, there is going to be a time where I'm like, okay, is this kind of just worth it? And I think SoundCloud have an opportunity if they, you know, listen to, I'm not saying they'd listen to us necessarily, but I'm sure there's other people, and just taking that into consideration and just deciding to change the platform in a way that's just, I think, long term going to be more sustainable for them as a business, but also it's just a better experience for the user. So those are my opinions on SoundCloud. I told you I had quite a few.
No, I dude, thank you so much. Good way to wrap up this topic here.
Yes, indeed.
Dude, you know, I logged on to Mixmag, one of our favorite, you know, news sources to find out what's going on in EDM news and culture. And I came across this really, really interesting article. It's basically about DJs sharing their tips for going sober in the rave. What I found interesting about this is that it came out at a really interesting time because it's January, which I did not know this. But apparently January is a big time for people to be sober.
Yeah, I didn't know that until this year.
Until this year.
I had a colleague. Okay, I'm glad. Thank fuck I'm not like just crazy because I've never heard of this thing before. I was like, sober January?
Dry January?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one where I was like, is this just a this year thing or maybe the last couple of years?
It's all you crunchy people out there in SF, dude. You guys are the only ones in the world who do this kind of shit.
Perhaps I've been under a rock. I'm not sure.
I felt the same exact way too, dude, when I started like reading a lot of stuff like on social media and also like reading some articles about dry January. What was interesting is that a survey was done and it shows that in January, 33% of the respondents said that they don't ever drink alcohol during the month of January. And that's compared to 24% from last year. From last year alone, it was a 9% change. I thought that was really, really interesting stuff. So I guess Dry January has been kind of around for some time, and it's only garnering some traction here. But this is a really great article because it just is some tips from different DJs and different genres, just kind of sharing how they look after themselves or how they make sure that they stay on track with their goals. You know, and some of the goals that these DJs have is just promoting their sobriety. It's tragic, and we've seen this before where this sort of culture and this sort of lifestyle of, you know, playing, you know, at all hours of the night in clubs and traveling around the world and, you know, being surrounded by other partygoers can sometimes have an effect on the artists themselves and pressure them into being a part of that lifestyle. You know what I mean?
This is a very, very interesting article in Mixmag. So there's a lot to unpack, I think, in what you just said. And thank you, man. Those are awesome thoughts and great conversation starters. So let's kind of unpack everything that you went through there. Okay, so first of all, I don't know about you, but this article seems to be, to me, more about actually how to DJ sober.
I think it can go both ways, man.
I think, exactly. I think it's both ways. But to me, the thing that wasn't really explicitly talked about was that a lot of these DJs were almost comparing things to their own experiences. So I think this is also, in a way, I think the lifestyle that affects the raver, right, who goes raving, affects the DJ. It's the same type of thing. They're dealing with the same pressures, I think, in a way.
Interesting.
Now, I think there might be some more professionalism involved when you're behind the DJ booth. And look, I could be talking out my ass here, but just kind of just thinking logically through this, I would imagine that DJs have to go through the similar pressures that rave goers have to go through, right? That social pressure to drink, to have fun. I mean, just look at all the things that have come out. I mean, look at Avicii, look at all the things, you know, where it just seems like DJs now are talking a lot more openly about, hey, you know, I've kind of stopped drinking before I DJed. I'm now, you know, I DJ sober. And you see these conversations starting a lot. And it just seems like this article kind of inadvertently also addresses that issue, which is, what about the DJs themselves? I thought that was interesting. I don't know. Is that something you saw in there? Or?
I think these are tips that, you know, either side of the DJ booth can live by.
Right. I mean, it's kind of just like kind of embedded in some of the things. Like, for instance, the one section, try not to get wound up by intoxicated people. It says here, I'll really quote, Spiritland resident and Jazz FM presenter Anne Frankenstein haven't ever really drunk alcohol, but as a working DJ, she's experienced every drunk person in the room. She said, drunk people can be irritating, especially when you're not drinking. Don't get too wound up by them and don't take the request so seriously. Sometimes my heart bleeds for someone when they really, really want to hear a song, and if I can, I'll do it. It's important to not take them too seriously. That's a tip to DJs.
Totally, without a doubt.
Not to regular everyday ravers. This is not saying that the article, right, I don't want people to interpret this the wrong way. I think it's fascinating because it's almost sad, because I can see that there's probably a lot of hardships that comes if you're trying to stay sober as a DJ too. And this is part of the reason what I love about, you know, when you meet some of these DJs and you talk to a lot of DJs, they're just, you know, there's a really strong bond between, it's just like, they're just people too, right? And they're not, you know, they're people as well, and they are also in love with this type of music. So I think these tips really can resonate with a lot of people because, you know, they can see some of themselves in them. And I think the DJs really can feel that because they know the pressures, just because they have it on the flip end, right? It's just a slightly different type of pressure. It's a pressure among celebrities. Mm-hmm. And I think this is something that is a topic that really needs to be discussed, considering all of the issues we've seen in the news recently about artists struggling with drug problems and things. And I think that, you know, we got to realize we should take their information seriously, right? But we should also be thoughtful about them and what the experience also could be doing to them. I mean, imagine if your job was just to deal with a bunch of drunk people every day.
Right.
Imagine that was your job, Samir. Like, you walked into your office and you just had a room full of really fucked up people.
Yeah.
Right? Wouldn't the saying go, I couldn't go to that sober? Yeah. Wouldn't that be the saying? Yeah. You'd probably say, I couldn't imagine doing that sober. Like, that's what these DJs do. That's their job, is to entertain a bunch of drunk people. Right? Now, I'm going to go completely different vibe switch with that.
Let's hear it.
I think that's their job, and I think that's almost the negative part to it. But I do think that the very freeing experience of going to a festival, of going to a rave, being able to drink and have fun with your friends, right? Or do whatever you may do and what you want to do with your friends is such an amazing experience for some people. And I think that's part of the reason why they love the scene, is because of how free things are and the lack of judgment. Right, you can go and no one is necessarily really judging you for how you're dancing or anything like that. You know, I think there's a lot of freedom that comes with it. And by, you know, kind of just nature, that may include using things such as, you know, the drugs in the scene and the alcohol. I mean, we have to be perfectly honest, right? Like, that type of environment is going to be a perfect breeding ground for that.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, maybe, you know, I think if you need to go rave sober, I think you should 100% be able to, and that you should be able to do that, and we should be encouraging that. But I think that we should also, in that same conversation, talk about how to go have fun in a, you know, kind of moderate way, right?
Absolutely.
Or at least if it's not in a moderate way all the time, right? I mean, let's be honest here. Everyone goes out to a bar, everyone kind of has a drink too much, right? I mean, come on, this is just real life, right?
Of course, dude.
It happens. But it's the same thing as that, like, you shouldn't be going to the bar every single weekend and drinking so much every single weekend. And that also means that you shouldn't be going to every single rave where you need to feel like really you know, that feeling of just like you're going to a bar and like you're really like, you know, screwed up or whatever. So there should be some raves where you go to where, yeah, you can have fun, you can let loose a little bit, but that doesn't have to be every single time. And I think that's the problem with a lot of live music across all different types and genres, is the fact that they all have that kind of experience associated with them and people constantly go to there. There's no real in between. You know, I can't really think of a, you know, a rock fest, the rock festival, or a rap festival where it's, you know, all about being, you know, sober and things like that, yeah. Right? But you're starting to see that more in EDM. So I think that people should definitely go have those type of experiences and just see what it's like to go to something completely sober, see what that's like, but be able to live in a world where you don't have to be choosing from one extremity to another. It's just you learn more moderation. Does that make any sense?
Kind of just going back to that conversation that we had from Deanna from Beyond Dope.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Preaching moderation, preaching harm reduction, not necessarily swinging to one extreme or the other. So I completely
agree. So I just wish that the article focused on that as well. The article did a great job, and this is great advice from a lot of these DJs, right? I mean, and I love how real it is, and it's true. Another one, like staying strong, it said here, ease yourself into it. Don't put yourself under too much pressure. It's important not to cut everything out at once. Do what's achievable. Fantastic right. advice. So take that and realize that this is the stuff that you should be taking, and that also the people talking about it probably are also dealing with it themselves. I mean, that's kind of what I took out of the article, and I think it's a really good conversation to be having right now.
I hope we continue to see more news pieces like this. You know what I mean? More DJs opening up about how to be safe in the scene and how to continue to grow your good and positive habits that will lead to, you know, better outcomes in the future for everybody involved, whether you're a raver or you're a DJ. So we need more stuff like this.
Hats off again to fucking Mixmag for this. Dude, is real guys, journalism. Yeah. This is real journalism. And we need that in the scene, because here's the thing, and that's what I think is wonderful about where, you know, we need to be pushing this too, is just like real introducing real journalism into the scene, because, or into totally, music dude. In general, because this is a huge part of people's lives, you know, and people don't think about this, but there are a lot of problems that come associated with music, because music is an escape, right? But it's a place that, you know, whatever type of music it is, there could be real problems with it. Like, it could be a part of your life where there's an issue with it, where you do like to go out and get screwed up too much. And musically is inextricably sometimes linked with that, right?
Absolutely.
So talking about making these experiences in a way where it's not just about that, and educating people and talking to people, this is stuff that really needs to be talked about in the industry. And I think journalism, such as what Mixmag is doing, is helping push those conversations forward and helping people, you know. I mean, maybe that's just a really hippie way to look at things.
No, man. You know what I mean? That's not hippie at all. It's practical. It's what we need, man. Come on.
You know?
I know you're crunchy, but that was a very uncrunchy statement.
Well, I'm glad, because, you know, I was like wondering, it's like, shit, has California really got to me? Am I just...
No, dude.
But it's an industry, like, as a business, too. You know, this is... It's a whole industry. It's a whole portion of your life, if you add up all the hours that you're out with your friends enjoying music at music festivals, yeah. Right? Especially if you're in this scene. It's great. It's awesome. But you've got to treat that. You've got to look at it, you know, also from a practical perspective, too. You can't just, I don't know, maybe I look at things in a very practical way. But I think if the industry can just help with it, it could do a lot of good, as well as provide that escape sometimes that people need.
Perfect, man. Perfect concluding thought right there. Love it.
Cool. All right. Well, we definitely talked that one to death. Thank you for putting that one on. I had no idea. I had so many deep thoughts.
No worries, dude. I thought you would enjoy that one.
I did. I really did. Thank you, man. But this is also one I'm very, very excited to talk about. Okay. It's been going around on Twitter. People definitely know what this is already, right? Okay. Elon Musk. The man makes rockets. The man makes weird looking cyber trucks. The man is a genius. Right? Physics-wise? Engineering-wise? Now the man is making Progressive House. What's next for Elon Musk, first of all? What is he going to try tackle? I'm thinking it's a rave on Mars. That's what I'm thinking. I think he's going to have a progressive house rave. Actually, he's going to have Eric Pritz come up do a show on Mars.
I already bought my tickets, man. It's done.
Right? Talk about the crazy projections. It's like, actually, no projections needed. You're in fucking space. Exactly. There's the Holo project. Yeah, no. You are in
space. Dude,
I
already took an early withdrawal from my 401k, and I bought the tickets. It's done.
And I can already hear people complaining about the lineup. I can hear it on the Facebook pages. God. Oh my God, why isn't Hardwell there?
Exactly.
Well, you couldn't fucking make it there because Mars is far away.
These tickets sold out immediately. It's such bullshit. Fuck the robots.
It's such bullshit. Oh my God, I wish I planned. Yeah.
Dipshits. Oh, man. All right, well, Alec, I know you got some thoughts on this, man. I got some thoughts on this one as well. Elon Musk producing some progressive house music. I mean, is he the songbird of our generation? All right, let's talk about this one, right? The song is called Don't Doubt Your Vibe, right? It was released on SoundCloud. And when you go to the page for the song, the cover art is the Tesla, what is that? The Tesla Cybertruck, is that what it's called?
Yes, sir.
The Tesla Cybertruck escaping from what looks like Mars. Like it's like kind of flying away from Mars. So you can already tell this is definitely Elon Musk behind this one. And the title of the track, Don't Doubt Your Vibe, is also the recurring lyric that was sung by Elon Musk. And Don't Doubt Your Vibe can be heard from Elon Musk kind of automated and auto-tuned and kind of messed around with in production and kind of peppered all throughout the song. Here's the thing. How much did Elon Musk really do on this song? That's the question that I think is on everybody's mind. Like, there's no doubt about it that it is his voice on this track. Now, in terms of who the true production credits should go for, I haven't really been able to find anything when it comes to production credits on this song, but he did post a bunch of pictures of himself in a studio on Twitter, and he like completely overhauled his Twitter in release for this song. But here we are. The song has over 2.1 million plays, reposted 2,600 times on SoundCloud, over 38,000 likes on this song as well. It's tagged as anime. I mean, this has Elon Musk branding written all over it. And look, let me be honest. I didn't think the song was all that bad. I actually thought it was kind of catchy, to be completely honest with you. And you know, some people didn't like his voice in this song. I did. I just thought it was fun.
Oh, no way.
I did.
You are fucking kidding me.
No, I'm not. This is much better than any Eric Pritz song I've ever heard in my life.
What? Excuse me?
I joke. I kid. Come on now.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Eric Pritz. I know. I can hear you.
You are such a bullshit. Do you enjoy the words?
I do. Honestly? I know, but no, I genuinely did enjoy the words. I was serious.
I love how
that's
become a thing, by the way. We're not calling it vocals. It's the words.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely words. It's not vocals. I did enjoy the words in this song.
No. We got to go back to this point. Explain to me how you enjoyed it.
Look.
I want to hear why.
The goal of this song is to not take yourself too seriously. That's what this is. And I think it perfectly executed on that function. Like, he wasn't taking himself too seriously on this track. He's having fun with it. It was released on SoundCloud profile called Emo G Records. I mean, he's not taking it too seriously. And that's what I liked. I liked the mantra of don't doubt your vibe. You know, there's this whole thing in 2020 where it's like, oh, vibe check, or, you know, catch my vibe or whatever. Like, you know, it's kind of become a meme, a really annoying meme that we see all the time. I think Elon Musk is just kind of capitalizing on that and just poking a little bit of fun and having fun with it. Again, I don't really know how much he truly did on this song. So I think there were more producers involved in this than he was going to let on. But it's a fun track, and it's just kind of interesting to see Elon Musk try his hand in progressive house music.
Okay, very interesting thoughts there. And I just want to say, the reason why I got worked up about the vocals, right, is I didn't realize you were appreciating them for kind of the thought behind them. I thought
thought behind
them. Okay, yeah. Okay. See, that's okay. That was key piece of information you left out there. Because I was just sitting here. You should see my face. I'm like, looking at this guy. I'm like, but what has gone wrong with
Samir
you?
Samir has
lose
turned
all
a new
your
leaf,
credibility.
Dude.
I was like, "Oh, listeners are going to think you're off your rocker." No, I agree with you. The vocals weren't, you know, just in of themselves, right? The vocals didn't sound great, right? But I agree with you. I think the point of them wasn't necessarily to. I don't think he thinks that he has like the best voice ever.
Yeah, of course.
Right, and we know that he's very, very, he's witty, right, and he enjoys having fun, and he's ironic,
yeah,
right? A lot of the things that, if you ever look at his Twitter feed, it's very ironic. He's very you know, he has a certain type of humor, and I think that this kind of plays into it. But if you look at actually just how the song was produced, like if you just pretend like the vocals aren't there, right? It's actually not that poor of a, you know, production quality.
Yeah, I
right?
know.
So I, you know, that's the thing. So like if he did that, that's bloody awesome. I think that this all ties into Elon Musk's, you know, way of, he's actually very smart. He builds publicity for himself, one. I think that's probably part of this. And we can talk about that separately a little bit later. But I think he's very smart because if you notice the moves he kinds of makes, right? Not all of them, but some of them. Because, you know, he went through a period there where he wasn't getting any sleep. And I think he went a little bit crazy. If I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, like, no, of course I remember that. So him on the Joe Rogan podcast was so funny.
Yeah. Well, did you watch the whole episode?
Oh, dude, it's like 3 hours long. I didn't watch the whole thing.
It's amazing. Great fucking episode. Maybe I should revisit it then. Oh my god, he's brilliant. And that's the thing, that's the sad thing, is that completely, it's an incredible conversation. Yeah. But people like who listen to it, like, oh my god, I actually didn't realize how awesome of a conversation this was because they just saw the meme. Anyhow, I digress. The point is that aside from his, when he's, you know, an insomniac and doesn't sleep, some of his crazy actions, he's very purposeful with it. And I feel like this song too had that real ironic purpose to it, while also just kind of hiding the fact that this is a really well-produced song, right? For somebody who isn't a big-time producer. So if there is a big-time producer working with him, that's interesting. That'd be great. But I would honestly love to hear if it was actually him giving it a go.
Yeah.
Because I think it'd be just hilarious. And I think it'd be great that he would start doing this. Can you imagine him coming on a, like, EDC, strolling on with a Cybertruck, driving it on, and just like to say...
We had Bill Nye for EDC 2019. Now we gotta get freaking Elon Musk for 2020, dude.
No, I thought the song was like, you know, I thought it was okay, you know, but I was very surprised by the actual beat of it, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I thought the production was quite good. What's interesting though to me, do you know if he enjoys electronic music?
I have no idea, man.
So I don't know if this has anything to do, maybe he's starting to like electronic music now because his, you know, he's dating Grimes, right? And Grimes is not typically EDM artist, but she's been recently getting more into electronic music by teaming up with IO of all people,
yeah,
for Violence, right? So maybe he's actually into electronic music. I don't know, I just feel like we're seeing some people coming out for electronic music that might not have before. And this is the point I wanted to get to here, which I think is kind of cool with him. Because you look at Shaq, right? I mean,
yeah.
How many people, his fan base, probably judged the shit out of him for enjoying it, right? And I feel like now you've also got Elon Musk coming out. It's kind of cool to see some of these celebrities coming out. So I guess what I'm just trying to say is that I think it's cool that, you know, electronic music is becoming more accepted as a music form now, I think, in a way, right? And being taken a little bit more seriously on some fronts from a musical standpoint, right? You've got some of these, the big time, you know, R&B and hip hop people see the talent in the EDM scene. So they're now using the artists to help them produce, which they might not have done before.
Yeah.
And now you've even got more celebrities coming out and being like, oh, this is kind of cool. So I that's what I like about this song, is that he's kind of had the, you know, the balls to come out and do it. And, you know, showing a bit of more support and on the mainstream side for electronic music.
You know, I completely forgot that he was actually dating Grimes. I completely
oh,
forgot.
Oh, he's probably
about
his baby mama too. Can you believe that?
Now everything's kind of blasting back into my memory right now about that whole thing. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Like, it's exciting to see celebrities kind of get more invested into EDM, right? I mean, Rob Gronkowski actually just had Gronk's Funhouse down in Miami. Like, literally, like, I think it was yesterday. So we're recording this podcast on Sunday. I think it literally just happened yesterday. So that,
man,
just took place.
Gronkowski is a character. He is so funny. I want to take a quick side note on this.
Let's hear it.
Have you heard his story about, so he went to, he went to University of Arizona, right?
Okay.
And he didn't join a fraternity house. He got a house instead off campus, right?
Okay.
And he just started throwing these rages at his house.
What?
Like, okay. That was what he was talking about. He was like, even talking about experiences where in the kitchen they would have like extended area and they would throw water down and like slide on it in the, like, create his own slip and slides for his parties
in the kitchen.
Or like in the kitchen would be part of the experiment, and I think outside too.
Oh
yes,
my god.
He created it, and this is from an interview he did, and he talked about it when he was in the NFL. And I think he's just such a... It's just a side note, just because I think he's such a funny personality.
He is such a character, dude. Yeah.
Right, but that fits that kind of, Shaq's, funhouse vibe.
And yeah.
It's just neat to see... I don't know if you feel this way, man, but do you... When you talk about electronic music to people, you kind of just assume that they probably don't understand it.
Yeah, 100%. Always.
It's interesting, and that's something that no one ever really talks about, I think, who's really in the scene, is that you're kind of like... It's one of those things where... if you're out to dinner on a first date, you're probably not going to say to somebody that you don't know, oh, I really enjoy dubstep music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I love headbanging. Just fucking great. Can't get enough of it. You know?
Right, like, right.
You've never met somebody. You're not going to say that on a first date.
Yeah.
Right? But on a first date, people, it's 100% reasonable to say, oh, I love Lil Wayne.
Right. Or I love my aroma diffuser. Essential oils.
Yes. Like, well, I do personally love those. Yes. I don't know. That's a little too crunchy, I think, for a lot of people. But the point I'm trying to get to, man, is the fact that I really think we are starting to witness electronic music bridging into the mainstream
yes.
culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I predict this. I'm telling you, man, I think maybe not in its current form in the more extreme sides of things, but just listening to some of the new up-and-coming artists in the mainstream arena, people like Billie Eilish, and just if you listen to the production, it's very electronic music-like.
Yeah.
It just is. So I feel like whether people are realizing it or not, we're experiencing a shift in what is going to be one of the most, if not the most popular genres. There's a hot take for you.
Dude,
so that's
wow.
why I like the EDM. That's why this is the long story I wanted to get to. I wanted to drag it out a bit there. But that's why I think I love Elon Musk's song so much, is that I think this is just the signals that we're moving on to, I think at least the style of production from electronic music becoming just a mainstay in mainstream. And soon you could be like, oh, on that first date, you're not essentially going to be, you're not going to feel hesitant to say that you enjoy EDM.
Right.
So... there we go.
Good discussion there, man. I hope Elon Musk comes out with some more music. I would love to hear it.
I want
to
see him. EDC.
Totally, man. Totally. All right, dude. We've been all plur. We've been all plur over here on the show. We're talking about all the good stuff Elon Musk is up to. SoundCloud, finally turning a revenue. DJs sharing their tips about being sober at the rave. But you know what, man? It's time we switch gears. We put it in reverse, all right? And we talk about the anti-plur moment. Alec, this is something that you and I both have, we were both talking about this offline a little bit. Excited to dive into this discussion here. But let's talk about it, man. Well, first of all, let's start off with the story that you just told me about something that happened to your two friends. What happened?
Yeah, man. So it's terrible. This is actually a really, really bad story. Okay. We were at one of my favorite clubs out here. I talk about all the time, Audio, right? And I've never had really bad experiences there before, nor has anyone that we've gone with. And this isn't necessarily a bad experience that I don't think you can blame the club on, but someone decided to steal the phones of people that we were with, right? Our friends. To me, it's just a shame because like that's such a way to ruin a night, right?
Yeah.
When you're out, and that's such a way to ruin kind of the experience that it really did for them. And because when you imagine, like, if you have your phone stolen, it's not a case of, oh, like, I lost my, like, I dropped it, I was an idiot with it, like, that sucks too, but like to have it stolen off of you is another thing. And like, that's, I mean, I can't imagine. Have you ever been pickpocketed?
No, thankfully I have not been pickpocketed.
Me neither. See, that's something that would kind of like shock me a bit, and so what I want to talk about, and what I want to do about this anti-plur about, like, I get quite, this isn't an anti-plur, I think, this week, that it's going to be one where it's like, kind of just a lot of like, passion and anger, just because I've never had that personally happen to me.
Yeah.
But I think this is more a discussion of like, why is there so much, it seems like there's a problem with pickpocketing and stealing in this environment where there really shouldn't be. And it's such a shame, because I think a lot of times we think about the electronic music and the rave scene is being very friendly, very community oriented, but yet there seems to be this constant problem of like stealing and stuff like that. So why is that? I mean, do you think these are other ravers and other people doing it? Do you think that's a portion of it? Or do you think it's just people trying to capitalize on these events?
I've had discussions about this with people online, especially on Reddit. I think the reason why we see so much thievery at these events is because you know, people, they go to these events, they let loose, they have a good time, and sometimes they get a little bit too inebriated, which makes them easy targets for not being as aware as they would be if they were sober, right? Still, by no means is that any reason why anybody should be pickpocketed or have stuff stolen from them. Just going to put that out there right now. But there are people in this world who will buy an EDC Vegas ticket, a Coachella ticket, drop $300, $400, go to a festival for a three-day weekend, and go around and steal people's phones. Because when you have people who are more susceptible to not being aware of their surroundings and what's happening around them, they become easy targets to have things stolen from them. And then if a thief, and these people never, they don't generally work by themselves. Like, there are articles that come out, like, after festivals, police busting like a phone theft ring at a festival, like finding 30 or 40 or 50 or hundreds of phones on a group of people, because that's their goal of going to these festivals. Steal the phone, turn around for a profit, and you pretty much immediately make your money back that you spent on the festival ticket if you steal like two phones. You see what I'm saying? Because the phones that we carry around in our pockets, I mean, they're obviously not cheap. You know what I mean? When a phone is first released, I mean, the average cost of an iPhone when it's first released is about $900. But all that I'm trying to say is that a thief can easily make their money back by stealing one or two phones, and then everything else after that is pure profit.
So you think, you would say that the majority of thievery that goes on at festivals is related to criminal activity.
It's
people just going to be criminal. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, like, I think also when people, you know, when they get drunk or, you know, whenever they get inebriated, like, maybe some of their negative or bad tendencies tend to come out. You know what I mean? And if you see somebody in front of you, and if you wouldn't normally do these things while you're sober, but if you see somebody in front of you and their phone is right there, ripe for the taking, you might take it, you know?
You
but
know,
I think a majority of the thievery comes from rings of thieves.
You know, man, I'm going to have to really agree with you on this one.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just, I'm so glad that you brought up that point, because, you know, as much as I would love, it's such a shame, like, you know, I would love to think that the scene is without its risks and stuff like that, you know, that we would have the ability to go to these things. And it just shouldn't be that way. Like, you shouldn't have to worry about it. But unfortunately, you do. I think one of the big issues, right, and I'm really glad you brought up this point, Samir, because unfortunately, we still have to, all of us, when we go, think about this as being a risk, right? The risk of being pickpocketed. And it's a shame, because, you know, the people who, the criminals that are doing this, right? And I certainly agree with you. I think there's definitely rings out there, I think, more so than people want to think and want to realize.
Totally.
Right? It's there. And you do need to be prepared for it, right? You've got to, just as you do in any day regular life, right? You, when you walk outside, you know, you're going to be more aware. You're not just going to, like, you know, I don't know, dangle your phone about and just walk with it, not pay attention
to
it and
dude.
Stuff like that, right? Like, this is the thing. And unfortunately, that's not what happened with my friends, right? But I think people just also in that situation need to be more vigilant, right? So I imagine there might have been somebody who was able to see it. And I think there's some skill involved, right? But I think as a community too, not only do we need to protect ourselves, like, as individuals from being pickpocketed and things like that, but I think as a community, be able to spot these things easier. Do you know what I mean? I think that's way that we could get to fix this type of problem, is that people around as well need to, it's like, if we're all individually a little bit more conscious of things like this as well, as a group, you should be able to root out some of this more criminal activity. Because I think just people don't think about it as being a possibility, and then that's how you're able to be pickpocketed. It's when you least expect it, when you're not paying attention.
Absolutely agreed. I think the biggest way to combat this is just everybody being more hyper-vigilant of what's going on around them. Looking out for each other, I think, is just a big, big part of this as well. Also, just taking some precautions just on your end, or, like, you know, on a rave goer's end. Like, you know, Alec, you and I think this year, or 2019, we invested in some fanny packs. You know what I mean? And I used to think fanny packs are kind of lame, but I love them.
No, I absolutely
love it, dude.
I love it now. Honestly, I love it. It's so convenient. I highly recommend it. All dudes should wear it, because here's the thing, right? Especially, like, you know, if it's hot outside, you know, as a guy, sometimes you want to show off your legs a bit, you wear those short shorts quite tight on you, right? But let's talk about practically, it doesn't really leave much room in your pockets,
right?
Things kind of bulge out and are easy to take. Or if you're doing a pool party, right? That's another thing, people don't talk about this stuff, but if you're at a pool party, it's like, you could have something taken off you quite easily. You know, if you need to cash, you want to go to the pool, then you wanted to go, like, buy something, you can have cash around, or cash potentially on you if you don't have a cabana, right? But it's just being thoughtful, wear a fanny pack. That's just a great solution right there. You know,
I'm
wear it around
agreement.
The front of you.
Yeah.
It's so hard to pickpocket that stuff. So, I mean, yeah, again, it sucks that you have to think about that, but there are options. Another one that I highly recommend, and I don't know if this would necessarily be applicable yet to festivals and things like that, but I would highly recommend getting an RFID wallet, okay? Because a lot of the times of credit card fraud is due to people being able to skim the barcode off of your wallets just by going and brushing by you. They don't even have to brush by you. They just have to walk next to you because it pulls it,
mm-hmm.
right, on some of these cards. Now, that's just stuff like, I mean, it's crazy to think about, but maybe that could eventually start going on at festivals and things, any crowded area.
Totally.
Right? It's very easy for that to happen. So buy yourself an RFID wallet. If you're going to a pool party, have one of those fanny packs or one of those waterproof carriers, right? Especially, you know, especially girls, if you want to be able to carry around, you know, because I know people, girls have wristlets and things like that, right? So instead of that, maybe having one of those things, you know, I'm sure you could go and buy some. I'm sure
they're super cheap, like 10, 12 bucks on Amazon, yeah.
Right, exactly. Just be like, you know, think about this stuff. It's all about planning. And that was our anti-plur last week. And, you know, it's kind of like people don't really always go to these things and plan.
Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons why you should plan that we didn't talk about is you just need to plan to be like safe and, you know, and protected and have all your valuables protected. Having a plan makes things so much easier.
Totally, dude. Totally. This is a good anti-plur moment, man. I'm very sorry that happened to your two friends as well.
It was, you know, and that's the thing. And it's like, you know, I kind of wish it's like, one, I wish I saw it. But then two, it's like, you know,
yeah,
it's just one of those scenarios where it's like, you know, we just, as you know, as a group of friends going out, you need to think about it a little bit better,
yeah.
I think. You know, you got to think about these things a little bit more. As well, because there's stuff that you can do as a group of friends to help each other out with this type of stuff.
Good tips. This started off as an anti-plur moment, but turned into a nice
is a different bit of an anti-plur. You know, it's more of like an analytical one. I don't know. Yeah, I was feeling that, but
I also have a scathing one for next week as well.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
There we go.
I'll keep you
back
in suspense on that one.
Good, please do. But all right, this is now getting into the last part of our show, man. We've got, I love this part, you know, we love the ends here. We've got the what we're listening to section and the artists we're watching section. But going at the top of the what are we listening to, Samir, we have a very unique rating scale here. So can you remind us all what that's about?
Yes, sir, of course. Guys, here on Beyond the Beats, we have a very unique rating scale, and it ranges from levels 1 through 5. Level 1 is what we call one listen. It's where you listen to a track and you're probably never ever going to listen again, but you're encouraging other people to give it a listen. Level 2 is what we call background noise. It's when a song comes on, it's playing in the background, you're not going to really do anything with it, you might be doing other things, you're not too bothered by it, but it's there to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on, you grab the volume knob and you turn it up. Level 4 is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music, you listen to an artist, and you immediately look up the next time that they're coming to your town and you gotta buy those tickets. And level 5 is speechless. It's just you and the music. The song transports you into another world and literally leaves you speechless. So to recap, level 1 is one listen, level 2 is background noise, level 3 is turn it up, level 4 is just bought tickets, and level 5 is speechless. Let's get back to it.
All right, Alec, let's talk about it, my friend. We got two tracks here this week for the What Are We Listening To section, EDM Champions. Check it out. We got Eliminate. Right? Eliminate. I love Eliminate. With a new track, Moolah. It's his first record out on Sable Valley Records, which is R.L. Grimes' record label. So this is really cool. Very, very interesting. And then we also have, of course, we wouldn't be a podcast about EDM news and culture if we didn't talk about this one. Porter Robinson, ladies and gentlemen, back with a new track. It's called Get Your Wish. He also announced an album that will be coming out in 2020. Hard to believe that Worlds came out in 2014. Here we are 6 years later,
wow.
And Porter just announced that he's releasing a new album in 2020, dude. Yeah, time flies, brother. Time
I can't
flies.
Believe it. That is so, yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about time flying. Okay.
Yeah.
Eliminate Moolah. What do you think, man?
Dude, I like this one a lot. I love Eliminate's take on trap and bass music. There's something about Sable Valley Records that all kind of have like this motif of having very airy sort of synths in their songs. You know what I mean?
Arcus was another one like that. And Eliminate doesn't normally play around with sounds like that, I feel like, but I think we got a little bit of that here in this track, Moolah, that he just released on Sable Valley Records. So that's why I think that he is a really nice fit, and this track is a really nice fit for the Sable Valley roster.
Very good point there. Very good point.
Thank you, man. Yeah, so that's why I really enjoyed this track, because Eliminate was trying something new here, and I loved it. And then, of course, in his drops, he was implementing some whale sounds, you know what I mean? Something that he's known for. You know, I don't know what it is about Eliminate, man, but he's just got some serious, serious creativity that is hard to find elsewhere. I mean, come on.
He's got a serious thing with these whales. I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
he really does, man. I eliminate them. Yeah. So Cyber Whale EP is one of my favorite EPs from him. Same with the Dead Sea EP from Disciples. But this track, Moolah, again, you get creativity from Eliminate while also playing along to what the Sable Valley Record Group is all about. So I'm a really big fan of this song. Alec, what'd you think?
Really good thoughts there. Very good initial opening thoughts there. I tell you, I agree with you on this one. His creativity is... I think he's one of those DJs right now and producers out there where his creativity is almost unmatched. I mean, This guy is just doing so, so much right now. You listen to just everything, every track that he releases, you can just tell the creativity that goes into it and that he's not afraid to experiment. And I tell you what, man, he has really done a very, very good job experimenting around. You know, I think what's interesting, I don't know if you've noticed with him, is that I think when he experiments around, it's still somewhat sticking to what you know him for.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Totally, brother. Of course.
Like, he's kind of, it's not an experiment where it's like a complete flip. He's not, you know, completely flipping around all the time, but you can tell that it's an Eliminate song. Even when he's doing something that's different, you can just kind of, if you've heard enough of him, you'd be like, okay, that's still Eliminate. It's doing something slightly different, but it's still Eliminate. And I think Moolah is definitely a classic example of this. As you just said, it fits more of the Sable Valley vibe. So really great job by Eliminate on this one.
Can't wait to see what this guy does next. I mean, I think maybe last week I sent you his set from when he was out there in San Francisco.
Yes, that was great. I wish I got to saw him. I mean, shout out to SF local there, Tyler Lawrence. I think he was might have been able to meet him quickly.
Yeah.
When he went there. I know he's a big fan of him. So that was awesome.
Crazy,
I just wish I was able to go
see
that set.
It's been fueling my workouts. So all right.
There you go.
So
love it.
We talked about Eliminate with the new song Moolah, released on Sable Valley Records, but now let's talk about Get Your Wish. The new song by Porter Robinson, released under the record label Mom and Pop. Alec, let me give you some of my initial thoughts on this track, right?
Yes, go
so,
ahead, please.
Porter Robinson, for me, was one of the very first artists back in like 2011, maybe 2010, that truly made me see what electronic music can be, right? I was listening to a lot of his Complexure stuff, his Spitfire EP, his, you know, Wildcat remix, his Let's Go remix. Like, I was listening to a lot of his music.
That Let's Go remix. Oh, my God.
Crazy.
Sorry. That's just...
No, dude, absolutely.
If you haven't listened, I don't think people have... Oh, man, yeah. Some people might not know that. We'll
a
put
lot
it
of people just...
Notes.
They do not appreciate his Complexure days, and it's really, really sad to see, because he really produced some absolutely banging music. There are some days where I wish he would still play some of those old school sets, but I digress, right? So then at the end of 2012, Language came out, and Language completely changed the game for what EDM and what big room music can sound like. It had beauty to it. It had a lot of depth to it. So he really changed the game on that one. Easy came out, absolutely smashed the charts, the song that he did with Matt Zoe, and then Worlds came out. And nobody was ready for Worlds. I mean, the album released in 2014, the first song, the first single off of that track. I'll never forget this. I'll never forget where I was when I was listening to it. I'll never forget any of it. But the first single that came out from that album was actually Sea of Voices, which I don't think a lot of people realize that. Like, I think a lot of people would assume it would be Sad Machine or Divinity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I didn't realize that, actually. Either.
Yeah. And Sea of Voices is a song that I feel like is radically, radically different from the rest of the album. But it was a statement by Porter Robinson basically saying, like, yo, I know you guys are used to this sort of sound from me, but here you go. This is the kind of music that I want to make. It's a completely different direction. And I remember in the description of the SoundCloud track in the post, he put in there, don't skip ahead to where, like, the waveform in the SoundCloud player, you know, becomes bigger. Listen to the whole song from beginning to end. So I did. And so I remember I was in my dorm. I, you know, close my eyes, put the song on, and it was just completely different from what he put out. Again, Sea of Voices is very different from the rest of the world's album. And so what I think people need to realize here with this new song, Get Your Wish, it's a new direction for Porter Robinson. It's not as dramatic of a change in direction as compared to what Worlds was, but, you know, compared to the music he was putting on before that. But this is still a new direction for him, and I have a feeling that the rest of this album as well is going to be very different from what this song, Get Your Wish, is.
Ooh, man, I love the background.
Thank you. I'm a really big Porter Robinson fan. Quick side note, but you know, me taking you to go see Porter live at EDC Vegas 2017 is still probably one of my all-time favorite festival memories. No. I love
that. Honestly, man, that's
I'll never forget. That was a really, really wonderful hour and 15 minutes of our lives.
Oh, it was. It was beautiful. No, it was beautiful. It was a great, and that's the thing I think that people love about Worlds is just that. It's one thing to listen to the album, but I, you know, much prefer it live because it's a show, it's a story, it's meant to be that way, right? And I think a lot of Porter Robinson's music, you know, especially more recently too with his iteration of a Virtual Self, is really meant to be, it's a show, right? It's more than just the songs itself. They all fit together. And that's what I just love about him, is being able to craft that sense of a story and a journey through his music.
I completely agree.
Definitely thank you for the background on that, you know, and I think this is definitely a different direction for him. I think one of the very interesting things about this track is that it's almost him going, it's a little bit similar to Worlds, right? So I think the people who really enjoyed Worlds are going to really love this, you know? I just wonder, you know, because he's got this upcoming album, do you think all of the tracks are going to be very similar to this? Or do you think it's kind of like what he did with Worlds, where the first release isn't necessarily like the rest of the album?
I think it's going to be very similar to what he did with Worlds.
Very interesting. Okay, that's an interesting point. And until you brought that up, that's why I'm asking you now, because I didn't think about that when I listened to this.
It's interesting that you say that a lot. If you enjoyed Worlds, you're probably going to enjoy this as well, because if you kind of browse some of the EDM forums on Reddit, a lot of people are just kind of neutral on this track. They're not very impressed with it, which I found very interesting. I think this is a really, really catchy song. Alec, I don't know if you know this, but it's his voice on the track.
Oh, I did hear that. Yes, yeah. That is impressive.
The thing about Porter is, like, he's a perfectionist, I feel like. And if he can't find, like, a vocalist to fit this track properly, he's going to be the one to do it himself and amend and change those vocals, like, you know, from male sounding to female sounding, to fit perfectly with what he's looking for. And that's something that you just have to respect about him as an artist, is that he will go to all ends of the earth to try to perfect a song.
Yeah, I agree with you with that. I mean, and that's just something you see in every track that he does. He's always a perfectionist with it. But I will say, man, you know, I was one of those people that felt a little bit more neutral about this song.
Interesting.
Why is that? I don't know. It just didn't quite do anything for me. I think it was good and I really appreciated it. And I think, again, like, you have to always be careful because you're evaluating, you know, someone who you hold in very high regard. So your expectations are very high. Right. But this wasn't a song that I was that enthused about. I thought I really appreciated it. It's one of those, again, it's a song that I enjoyed. Right. I did enjoy it, but it didn't really kind of wow me. And perhaps maybe you can blame the hype or things like that, but I just wasn't as, you know, hyped up about it as I thought I would be.
That's interesting, and I can totally see where you're coming from on that. Like I said, I don't think that this is such a huge stylistic change for him as compared to what that change was like from Complex Show to Worlds. So I can see why some people would say, like, oh, this isn't really anything all that groundbreaking, like the way that he did it with Worlds. But I also just want to say to those folks, just be ready to go into the album with an open mind, because I have a feeling that this album is going to be very, very different from what he's previously put out.
And I'll tell you, it's funny. I'm more excited about hearing the rest of the album than I am really about this song.
Interesting. Right?
Like, I'm going to enjoy. I know I'm going to enjoy. Yeah, here's the thing. That's what I'm saying. It's not really, I don't have a negative view of this song. Yeah. That's the thing. I just feel like there's a lot more to come. So I see the potential. But this is why I'm almost thinking, you know, if he's, perhaps I'm overanalyzing this and overthinking this, but it's almost like he's showing that there's going to be a lot more to it, right? Yeah. I mean, who knows with him? Because, I mean, he really does plan everything out, right? So I do, and I think, you know, the way he did Virtual Self as well, right? When you remember back to how he did that, it was almost like, here's a preview of kind of the direction that you're going to see, right? It might not be the song that's the epitome of that new direction, but it's a preview of what's going to come. So I think there's going to be another track on this upcoming album that people are going to really enjoy a lot more.
Yeah,
All right. Well, I'm really.
Does that make sense? Because I feel like that happened with Virtual Self, right? I mean,
it was like it was Eon like Break.
Was a mixed reception at first, a neutral reception. They were like, okay, I'm not really sure, but then people just fell in love.
Yeah,
and I do feel like that's gonna. If he does it well, if he nails it, I think that's what he's gonna do with this album. It's gonna be the same thing.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree with you, dude. I mean, Porter Robinson really is a genius in the EDM scene. So I'm really excited to see, you know, more tracks come out of this album. And of course, guys, we'll keep you posted on that as well. We'll talk about it here on the show. Alec, are you ready to start? You ready to move into this? Ready to start giving these some ratings?
Let's do it.
All right,
let's
baby.
Let's do it.
Let's start it off. All right, let's go to Eliminate with the new song Moolah released on Sable Valley Records. Alec, what are you giving Eliminate's new track?
I'm going to give it a level 4 out of 5 just bought
nice.
Tickets. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, really enjoyed this track. It's a track that just really solidifies, because I've been thinking about it, right? And maybe I'm slightly biased because I listen to the set, so I'm trying to, you know, as we like to do here on the show, think of it in a vacuum.
right.
You know, maybe I'll give into a bit of the bias after listening to that set and then also listening to this new track. That's kind of solidified the decision for me to want to go see Eliminate. I've been on kind of the... not the fence, you know, I've been interested, right? But it's like, it's one of those where it's like, okay, if he's in town, again, do I buy tickets, like, you know, without thinking about it? And
yeah.
I think now, because of this track and also listening to his set, that's a yes for me. So that's why I give it a Just Bought Tickets.
Nice, man. I'm also going to give this a Just Bought Tickets as well. I mean, just this track in itself, like I said, Eliminate's creativity knows no bounds. And he is one of those people in this bass scene who is really just keeping it very interesting. And I feel like that's becoming increasingly hard to come by. And so because of that, I just have to give Eliminate mad props for just sticking to his sound, but also being able to mend and mold to a specific kind of direction that a record label like Sable Valley likes to go in. So I'm a big fan of this song, and I'm going to give this a Just Bought Tickets, and I would love to see Eliminate live. Let's move it over to Porter Robinson's new track, the first track off of his new album. The song is called Get Your Wish. Alec, please grant me my wish and give me your rating for this track.
Okay, so I'm going to give this one.
Yes.
Level 3 out of 5, Turn It Up.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a Turn It Up just because this one I'm putting a little bit more into context because I don't have, sorry, into a vacuum just because I don't have much context around it. Individually as a song, it's something that if I hear, I'm going to turn it up, I'm going to enjoy it. But it's not one of those tracks that's quite convinced me yet of whether I'm really, really going to enjoy this new Porter Robinson direction, if that makes sense.
Yep.
I want to hear a little bit more from him. I'm just going to hear more when the album drops, and I'm just going to wait and see. I'm very excited about it. But as I said before, like, if this is, you know, this isn't the song that's going to make me just love this new sound, if you know what I mean.
Interesting. No, that totally makes sense, man. EDM Champions, let's go into this with an open mind. Don't forget that this new album, I feel like, is going to have a very, very different direction from what this leading single has right now. But I'm going to give this one a level 4 out of 5 Just Bought Tickets. I'm really, really impressed. I'm really impressed with this song. I think the part that really impressed me about this song is obviously the very clean production. But also at the same time, I was super impressed to find out that he's the one who did the lyrics on this track. It's just so incredible to see, like, he took his own voice and he really molded it and mended it to make it fit the direction that he was looking for. And really, I mean, just kind of flip the gender. It's hard to find another artist do that. And Porter Robinson is probably at the top of the game of trying to find the perfect element to complete a track. Mm. So I'm a big fan
of this. I'll agree with that. I agree with that, definitely. That's actually very well put. I would agree with you on the fact that I don't think there's too many other artists out there. I mean, I can't really think of one at the top of my head.
Exactly.
That can do what Porter is able to do.
Dude, good discussions here, man. Really good hard-hitting pieces of music right here. Very, very different genres. But you know what, man? No episode of Beyond the Beats, episode 45, is complete without this very special section, our fair part of the show. We're spotlighting two artists here on the show that have a little bit less of a following, but we got to put them on. We got to support our underground talent. And guess what? Here we are. We're in the artists that we're watching section. Alec has got an artist. I've got an artist. Alec, dude, I want you to start this one off because your message to me yesterday while you were sharing this artist was so funny. So why don't you kick us off, man? Who you got for us this week on Beyond the Beats?
All right, I'm going to dig into it. We've got a bit of a darker, vibe for you all, some just darker sounds, some more experimental sounds perhaps, and I hope you enjoy it. Because I tell you what, at the beginning when I first was listening to this, as you can probably just hear it now in the background, kind of looming, glooming, I wasn't entirely sure how I was going to feel about this. I was thinking, you know, Alec, am I going to really enjoy this type of thing? I know that I've seen this person before, highly recommended people like Closey, they follow him, but am I going to like this sound? I'm not too sure. But as it builds up and then it just goes into this absolutely sweet drop that's just going to come up, I think you're going to fall in love with it too. I highly recommend listening onto high quality headphones, because I think this one, as Samir likes to say, is a head dinger. Take a listen to the sounds of Oak. This is Hello 404 by Oak.
So, Alec, you know, one thing, I love this. I found this so funny when you sent me your artist for this week, right? you sent me the lyric. You're like, listen to the start. It's one of those tracks you can't skip around in. I don't know how I feel. And I respond back after I listen to the track. I was like, bro, what the F? What is there to not know? This shit slaps. This track is a certified head dinger. I'm a big fan. And I'm a really, really big fan of this track, dude. This is just... The vocal sample is so much fun. It's just so much fun. It's incredibly infectious. It keeps the song interesting. When it drops, it really drops. It has a really nice dark element to it. And I've always kind of liked like cyber sounding songs, if that makes sense. Like, you know, like songs yeah. that sounds like the devil within your computer could probably put together. And that's what this song reminds me of, is like, you know, a little computer devil just like putting together tracks like, hello. This is a great track. I'm a big fan of this one.
I think just what happened with that text is, because I started listening to it, it was just really kind of threw me off. It was not what I expected.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's different, right? It's different. And that's why I was a bit confused, because it's got, you know, this old school kind of trap influence yeah, in there, yeah. but it's dubstep as well, an old school dubstep. And you just combine the two. And I was like, whoa, this is different. I think that's really what I meant more than I don't know how I feel about it, as okay. in, like, do I like it or not?
I
knew I liked it, but I'm like, why do I like this?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what this is. How do I feel it? How do I categorize it? So I was a little bit confused.
I hear that.
You know, Oak went out and they just confused my brain, fuzzled the brain there. Just wasn't sure. Neurons misfiring.
We got to get this guy into brain surgery stat. We're concerned exactly. about his like, cranium.
That's exactly what happened. But I'll tell you what, man, I just kept on listening to that just over and over and over again. And he's got, I mean, it's just, he is just awesome. He's going to blow up, man. I mean, he really is. He's already done a Boiler Room set for a West Coast-based festival. You can look it up on YouTube. I'll put it in there. That was just awesome about it. He also played at Shambhala last year, believe
that
it or not.
That is amazing.
It
wow.
is.
That's crazy.
I'll have to send you, man, actually, it's up on his SoundCloud. You can
I'll definitely listen to it this week.
It's interesting. It's different. But then if you listen to his Boiler Room one, it's different also. It's got more hip-hop to it. And imagine, like, he puts this type of beat and this type of vibe behind hip-hop.
Fuck yeah.
Like, that is
that
just
legit.
Fucking
yeah.
awesome. It is. So he's still experimenting and finding, I think, his own sound. But I think with this release, I think he's really starting to hone in on it. I mean, just it's just a fantastic song, and I just love the combination of different genres there blended into this one. And it's just dark and it's dirty. It's just great. And he only still has around 8,000 followers on SoundCloud. believe it or not.
Get this man some more followers, okay?
Get this man some more followers.
Yeah.
People, please, go to the show notes, give this guy a follow, give him a shout out,
yeah.
Show a friend, put him on a festival stage. This man is going to blow
you,
up.
He's you know what? We'll wait. Just... Go to the show notes right now. We'll wait. Go ahead. Go ahead. We're waiting. Did you do it?
You hope right. so. All right. There you
go.
Good. We're
go.
Set. Right. Dude, we're set.
Fantastic pick, man. Oh, my God. I was so impressed when you sent this to me.
Oh,
I was not expecting it, but I loved it.
This is one of the ones where you just come across and you're like, whoa, I think I just stumbled across something awesome here.
You know,
it was one of those ones. I mean, and just the fact that I also just huge respect, shout out to Closey. I don't know if you really listened to her.
No, but, I don't think so. No.
Oh, man. She's got kind of its, you know, bass with trap with old dubstep in there.
Nice.
But with very, there's like, you know, almost Persian influences in some of her songs. There's Japanese, a very big Japanese influence in it. It's just really, really interesting, very high quality, you know, stuff. And just it sounds kind of like this, which are very deep, right? It may come off as minimalistic at first, but it's deep. It's got lots of layers to it.
Totally.
So if she's starting to blow up in her own right as well, but if she's following Oak, then you know stuff is going on. So, you know, that would be an awesome collab if that ever came out. But
I'm
definitely Oak, shout out to you, man. You know, you're going to have a big year. 2020 is a year, man. Take a hold of it.
Wow, dude, thank you so much for introducing us to Oak over here on Beyond the Beats. We got one more artist for you, an artist that we're watching. I'm gonna take it away.
Let's do it.
All right, you ready for this? I'm super pumped
up
about this one. All right, guys, I want to introduce you to Esofact, and that's spelled Esofact. I feel like I pick a lot of artists that have like very difficult names to pronounce. But I don't know. It always happens that way. They have interesting names.
I,
they have an
I think we're
sound.
Just bad at pronouncing them, man.
I think you might be
bad.
Right, brother.
Yeah,
oh,
I think
man.
So.
Guys, check it out. On SoundCloud, they have 1,600 followers, and on Instagram, only 40 followers. It's a project by two California-based producers. They go by the names Erpel, Epel, and the other one's name, and I'm going to butcher this one, Is Too Right. The first track came out 5 years ago, and every so often they'll put out a new track for this Esofact project that they have going on, but check this out. One thing you guys should know about me, I find future bass to be incredibly boring. I don't, you know, like, it's very hard for me to get really pumped up on future bass, but these guys, they do future bass just right. They just put out an EP, and now check it out. I want to play a song off of their new EP, and the song is called Honey Drip. You can hear it building up in the background. Let it take a hold of you. This is a fantastic track. Let's play it right here on Beyond the Beats.
Yeah, this is different. This is good. I like it.
Yeah, dude.
This is got that real future sound to it as well, right? And Is this future bass? It's interesting. It is. It's different. It's different, though. They've put their own twist on it, you know?
That's why I love this, because I don't know about you, Alec, but I really am not that inspired by future bass all that often. But I was really, really pumped up on this one.
Yeah, it's gotten, I think, it's hard, because, you know, I think it really hit quite a peak, right, a couple years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's a lot of producers hopping in, you know, but I agree. Sorry, go on.
No, you're absolutely right on that one, man. So, sorry, it's a 4-track EP that they just released. You got to get a hold of this one, and they premiere some of the songs on, you know, This Song Is Sick, a great music blog, Complex premiere as well. I mean, these guys really, it seems like that they have a pretty good hold in the scene, but I'm very surprised that their side project only has about 1,600 followers on SoundCloud. I mean, Erpal Epil himself has 4,300 followers on SoundCloud, and Istu Wright has about 800 followers on SoundCloud. You know what I mean? So both of these artists, they got their own careers, and now they're coming together for this project, and I'm really, really pumped up about it. And it's just, it has to reach more ears, because if we had more people doing future bass like this, I could see future bass catching a second wave. And you know what? I hope. Ooh. Yeah, I hope Isofact leads the way.
I think people, you know, like Isofact, I think these are the people that's going to really start to ignite it back again, I think.
Yeah.
That's what my prediction is, too.
Exactly. So, guys, check this one out. It's going to be in the show notes. I mean, again, we want to hear your thoughts on this. So please connect with us. Twitter, @podbtb. The Instagram is @btb.pod. We are on Facebook. You can email us, connect@beyondthebeats.co. Speaking of beyondthebeats.co, that's also our website. It's not .com, .co. And yeah, just connect with us, man. We love you guys. We want to talk to our EDM champions. Let us know what's up. You know what? Don't forget to drop a review in the Apple Podcast. Give us a follow. Share it with a friend. Share it with your grandma. Share it with your dog. Whoever. We just want to hear from you guys. We want to grow the brand. We want to grow our listeners. And we want to make this community a better place.
What a way to end off. And I tell you, that's all I have to say, because what an episode. I think we've covered
a lot of good stuff.
A lot of great stuff. Yeah. You know, and if you could just, you know, it's a bit of a plug here, but if you could just go on to Apple Podcasts and just subscribe, or if you're on Spotify, follow us, you know, just help. We would love to just, you know, do as much as we can to spread the word and just get Beyond the Beats out there, because we really enjoy doing this for everyone and all the people we meet through doing it. It's really an awesome thing. So if you have any feedback, give it to us. You know, we'll try to be as responsive as we can on our socials. Yeah,
we'll take it personally. It'll keep us up at night.
It's a personal attack, keep me up at night. No, but definitely, we already appreciate all the feedback, and you know, we have some, you know, new things that we'll be doing this season year that will hopefully get people a little bit more involved, you know, make you feel more engaged, because we really do want to help, you know, engage with you guys, because just everyone really does a great job. And the more feedback we can get, the better we can make this show. So
totally.
Thank you, everyone, for sticking with it. And then we'll be back next week for yet another episode.
All right, guys. And until then, peace.